जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा. So we have been talking about the great Rajarishi, the great devotee of the Lord, who was a king, Maharaj Pratap Rudra. We mentioned his lineage, the glories of his father, King Purushottam Dev. We also talked about his position in his previous life, and also about his deep desire to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu refused when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came, and even when Ramananda Rai persuaded the Lord, or rather he softened the heart of the Lord by glorifying Pratap Rudra, still Mahaprabhu did not consent to give his audience to the king. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came back feeling very fearful that the Lord may leave Jagannath Puri in case the devotees press him too much to give audience to the king, Sarvabhauma began to meditate deeply on what could be done. He came back a little disturbed because he was thinking of ways by which he could ensure that the king would get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he met once again with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked him further questions. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him that the king has refused, although I tried my best, the king was very much disheartened. Sarvabhauma said, I tried my very best, I put in my great endeavor, but when the Lord said that if you try to persuade me like this, I will leave Jagannath Puri and go. So I could not continue the conversation with him. So the king was greatly unhappy. And he began to tell Sarvabhauma, पापिनी च उद्धारिते तान अवतार जगाई ना धारिते हो कोरिला उद्धार. He said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended just to deliver all kinds of sinful low-born persons. Consequently, he has delivered sinners like Jagai and Madhai. Pratap Rudra chhari koribe jagat nistar ei pratigya kori kori yachin avatar. He will deliver the whole world, koribe jagat nistar. Nistar means to deliver. Chhari Pratap Rudra, he will deliver the whole world except King Pratap Rudra. Ei pratigya kori, with this determination, practically with this vow, kori yachin avatar. It seems that the Lord has taken avatar with the determination
that he will deliver everyone in this world except King Prataprudra. This is the way Prataprudra is thinking. So, it is a similar mood to what Narottam Das Thakur also prays.
Patita pavana hetu tavatara mosam patita prabhu napaibeyara.
He says, you have your avatar, your descent in this world is to deliver everyone, to deliver all the sinful people. But it seems like there is nobody more sinful than me, so I am the prime candidate for you to deliver first. So Prataprudra is thinking in his state of unhappiness like this. And then he quotes another verse which was later to be found in Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka.
Adarshanyanapinicha jati sandhikshate hantatathapi nomam madeka varjam kripayashyati te nomiyakim sovatatara devaha.
Nicha jati, there are those who are of very low birth, low caste, and therefore adarshaniyan, therefore they are not even supposed to be seen. There are those people like that, samvikshate, but still the Lord puts his merciful glance on them. He does see them, he doesn't remove them from the glance of his mercy. Hanta, but alas, tathapi, even though the Lord casts his merciful glance upon the most fallen people who are not even to be seen, naha maam mad eka varjan kripayishyati iti. But the Lord wants to deliver everyone with the exception of me. Nirniya kim saha avatatara devaha. With this decision the Lord has descended into this world. Then Prataprudra gave his decision. What would he do if the Lord didn't have mercy on him?
Tara patigya morina kori bedarshan maha patigya tahavina chadibo jivan.
Alright, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is determined to not see me, then I am determined to die if I do not see him. I will give up my life. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the kind of determination that is required in our Krishna consciousness to achieve success. And Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dhravrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. That for one who endeavors with great determination, always chanting my glories, always bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with great devotion. So these are the symptoms of a Mahatma. And such a person is called a Dhridhavrata. Many ups and downs come in life and even in the course of an aspiring transcendentalist. Therefore, unless one is very, very determined to achieve success, one will easily become distracted, dejected, deviated for various reasons. So Maharaj Prataprudra had such amazing determination that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was astonished. Prataprudra continued,
Yadishai Mahaprabhu Mapai Kripadhyam Kiba Rajya Kiba Deho Sabha Akaran.
If I do not receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, my body and my kingdom are certainly useless. Now this was all the more astonishing because the king is generally a person who has facilities for sense gratification. And very rarely do you find kings who are willing to give up their wealth, their opulence, their facilities for sense gratification. And here was Maharaj Prataprudra willing to give up everything if he didn't have the darshan of the Lord. generally people like to see the Lord or they go to a temple in order to obtain opulence and sense gratification from the Lord. But here Maharaj Pratap Rudra said that if I don't see the Lord, then I will give up everything I have. And there was a lot Maharaj Pratap Rudra had. So therefore, such determination was certainly exceptional for a kshatriya, for a king, who was living in such opulent circumstances. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided to pacify the king. He said, "My dear king, don't worry. I am sure that the Lord's heart will melt when he sees your firm determination, and he will definitely receive the Lord's mercy." In other words, it is not our endeavor in itself that is anything noteworthy. Because what can we do? We are simply tiny, insignificant spirit souls. We are nothing compared to even the Lord's material energy. We are absolutely powerless in the hands of the material energy of the Lord. But despite all obstacles, when the transcendentalist perseveres despite all odds, that the Lord's mercy is drawn. Although the task is otherwise impossible, by the Lord's mercy it becomes very, very easy. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya turatyaya." He says, "My maya is very, very difficult, practically impossible to cross over. Maham eva ye prapadyante is only for one who can surrender to me is deliverance possible from this world." Srila Prabhupada used to give the story of the little sparrow whose eggs were stolen by the ocean. She had laid the eggs on the shore of the ocean. And when the sparrow demanded the eggs back from the ocean, naturally the ocean, being very strong and mighty, ignored the sparrow, because the sparrow was insignificant. But the sparrow was very determined. So she said, "I will dry you up." She threatened the ocean. The ocean laughed it off. The sparrow went, took off a few drops of water in her beak, went to some distance, threw those drops, came back, picked up another few drops, went to a distance, threw those drops, and she was going up and down like this. And finally, Garuda, the great carrier of the Lord, saw this from the Vaikuntha sky, and immediately he felt great pity and mercy upon this bird, because she was from the same family, bird family. So Garuda came down, and feeling pity for the sparrow, he approached the ocean and said that, "If you don't return the eggs back to the sparrow, then I will dry you up." Now the ocean had to take things seriously. Now he was not facing a small sparrow, he was facing Garuda, who could easily empty up the ocean without much effort. So in the same way, although from one point of view it is impossible for the jiva to counteract or to cross over the material energy, but simply if the transcendentalist is determined, then that attracts the Lord's mercy. So this was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's point to Maharaj Pratap Rudra, that, "Oh dear king, your determination to see the Lord and to obtain his mercy is your qualification, and this will surely attract the Lord to you." He says, "Teho prema adhina." The Lord is controlled by love, and your love is gadhatara, is very, very deep. Therefore, certainly the Lord, being controlled by your love, will bestow his mercy upon you. Koribena kripa. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking, "Nevertheless, still let me try to see what method we can employ to facilitate King Pratap Rudra getting the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And he said, yes, there is one way out. On the day of the Rath Yatra, when the Lord is tired after dancing all the way down to the Gundicha Mandir, and when he is in ecstatic emotion and he goes to rest in the gardens near Gundicha temple, at that time when he lies down, he will not be in external consciousness. Now you should go there, O King, dressed in the guise of an ordinary mendicant, an ordinary man, not as a king. And then when you go there, you should massage the Lord's feet and chant the verses from the Rasa Panchadhyaya, the five chapters. Adhyaya means chapters, Pancha means five. So the five chapters of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that deal with the Rasa Leela. You should melodiously recite these verses for the Lord, and he will feel great ecstasy. And because you have been the cause of delivering this transcendental happiness to him, he will surely rise and embrace you and shower his mercy upon you. So Prabhupada explains that a Vaishnava is always ready to help another Vaishnava progress in Krishna consciousness. And when one devotee sees that another devotee is having some difficulty or has some spiritual hankering, then the other devotee always is eager to help. This is spiritual consciousness. This is the spiritual world where everybody is helping everybody else to proceed to deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness, closer and closer to the lotus feet of the Lord. Material consciousness is just the opposite. In material consciousness, everybody is involved in pulling the others down. But in spiritual life, everyone is trying to compete with each other to help each other. In the material world, the situation is like that of crabs in a basket. Sometimes you see these people who go to the sea and they collect crabs to go and sell in the market. And they don't have to have a closed container. They don't have to have a lid on top. They just have many of these crabs inside that open basket. And he will probably carry it on his bicycle or on his cart. And he goes on, comfortable with the assurance that nothing is going to happen. These crabs are not going to escape. And why is that? Because the moment one crab starts to move up to escape, the others see, oh, this one is escaping, and they pull him down. And the second one tries to go up, and all the others see, oh, that one is escaping, and they go and pull him down. They don't think that if all of us try to escape, we could easily do so, and we could all be free. Win-win. But the crab mentality is that whatever happens to me, the other one shouldn't succeed. So this is material consciousness. But Vaishnava consciousness is that the Vaishnava sacrifices himself or herself to help others progress in their Krishna consciousness. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to assure Pratap Rudra Maharaj. He said, because Ramananda Rai has given such wonderful descriptions of your pure love for him, the Lord's heart has already been softened. So don't worry. So then Pratap Rudra Maharaj was somewhat pacified and decided to follow his instructions. So then he just asked Bhattacharya, so how many days left now for the festival? He said, there are only 3 days left for the Snan Yatra. The Snan Yatra, as you are aware, is a major festival in Jagannath Puri when the Lord is bathed, as the word indicates. And after that he develops a kind of fever, he takes ill, and he doesn't give darshan after that. And then his transcendental body is painted, and he's prepared for the upcoming Rath Yatra festival which usually is 15 days after the Snan Yatra. At that time, because the Lord was not giving darshan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in extreme distress. As we have been discussing before, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is Krishna, he has imbibed the mood of Srimati Radharani in particular. And that mood corresponded exactly to the mood that she had when Uddhav visited Vrindavan. Those feelings of separation became very intense when this Snan Yatra festival was over and the Lord was not going to give darshan for 15 days. Because Jagannath is Krishna, and Jagannath in that particular feature represents Krishna in a mood of separation. Krishna in the mood of Krishna in separation, whereas Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation. So although Krishna was seeing Krishna when Mahaprabhu was seeing Jagannath, but the moods were different. Jagannath is in the mood of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So because the separation became unbearable, then he would go to Alalnath. That's also a wonderful place, also called Brahmagiri. That's the place where the deity is actually called Alvarnath, from the Alvars of the Sri Sampradaya, who came from the far south many, many thousands of years before. And somehow or other, some Sri Vaishnava Pujaris had been called, and the deity was there as a four-handed form of Narayan. That was originally also worshipped by Brahma. Brahma did austerities at that spot. But when Mahaprabhu used to go there, he would see not the 400 Narayan, but he would see Shamsundar, Krishna. So Mahaprabhu went away to Alalnath. In the meanwhile, the devotees from Bengal, almost numbering 200, had come to the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. As you know, for 20 years consecutively or more, the devotees would come from Bengal to associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 4 months in a year. And usually they would come around the time of the Rath Yatra and remain for a couple of months. So led by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the devotees went to Alalnath to call Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu came back. And at that time, he went to King Prataprudra, informed him of the Lord's arrival. And then Gopinath Acharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma, came and said that the devotees from Bengal have come, 200 in number, and they are now at Lake Narendra. Lake Narendra is a lake in Jagannath Puri where the Chandan Yatra takes place. And customarily, even till today, when devotees visit from Bengal to Puri, they first take bath in Lake Narendra and then come for darshan to Lord Jagannath. So Gopinath Acharya, he saw Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and King Prataprudra in conversation, and he came there, he blessed the king, and then he told Sarvabhauma that these devotees are coming and I need to make immediate arrangements for their accommodation and prasadam. So the king replied, "Yes, I shall be happy to do so." He immediately gave orders. He said, "I shall give orders to my attendants to do the needful. He will arrange for everybody's accommodation and prasadam." And then the king was eager to see all these devotees. He said, "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please introduce me to all these devotees. I'm very eager to see the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The Bhattacharya replied that, "I am also unfamiliar with their identities, but here Gopinath Acharya will introduce you to each of them." So then the three of them went up to the terrace, the roof of the palace. And from there, they could clearly see the devotees who were coming as they grew closer and closer to the palace. It was an astonishing sight. First of all, the devotees were coming there, chanting ecstatically and looking effulgent. And two personalities were walking towards this group of devotees from Bengal carrying garlands in their hands. And they were Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda. So Swarup Damodar Goswami went up to Advaita Acharya, offered him a garland. And then Govinda went up also and offered the garland. And then Govinda offered obeisances to Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya asked Swarup Damodar, "Who is this?" Then Swarup Damodar explained that actually he is the disciple of Ishwar Puri called Govinda, and Ishwar Puripad has ordered him to come and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, looking at this scene from the top, King Pratap Rudra asked Gopinath Acharya, "Who are these two glowing personalities?" He said, "This is Swarup Damodar." And how did Gopinath Acharya introduce Swarup Damodar? Bhattacharya kahe ei Swarup Damodar Mahaprabhur hoy iha dvitiya kalibar. This is Bhattacharya who introduced, because they were staying here. Here is Swarup Damodar, who is practically the second expansion of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dvitiya kalibar. Dvitiya means second. Kalibar is like the body, an expansion. And the second person is Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. The Lord has sent these two to go and welcome the devotees with garlands and remnants of Jagannath's prasadam. So this is the way one actually is supposed to welcome and honor devotees when they come. There are certain basic things that are to be done. Number one, we offer them garlands of the Lord, Mahaprasadam garlands. Second, if it is the hot season in particular, we offer sandalwood paste that has been offered to the Lord, Chandan, and perhaps some Mahaprasadam if it is available. And of course some sweet words of welcome, some obeisances and so on. So these devotees from Bengal were welcomed like that. And then Maharaj Pratap Rudra asked, "Now who is this other personality who has been garlanded?"
Raja kahe jari malahan dile dujan, ascharyate jab bada mahan kaha kono jan.
To whom did Swarup Damodar and Govinda offer these two garlands? His bodily effulgence is so great that he must be a very great devotee. Please let me know who he is.
Acharya kahe iha naam Advaita Acharya, Mahaprabhu manya patra sarva shiro dharya.
Gopinath Acharya replied, "His name is Advaita Acharya. He is honored even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is therefore the topmost devotee." In this way, Gopinath Acharya introduced all the devotees who had come there to Jagannath Puri one by one. And with great astonishment and devotion, Maharaj Pratap Rudra had the darshan of these devotees from a distance. Maharaj Pratap Rudra had extraordinary faith, and he was very, very happy to see all these devotees coming. Actually, one of the symptoms of a devotee is that he or she becomes very happy to see another devotee. And in the Shastras also it is said that there are many definitions of a Vaishnava Prad. One of the characteristics or symptoms is to not be happy when you see a Vaishnava. What to speak of positively offending or criticizing somebody. But if one is not happy to see another devotee, then also it's not a very nice thing. But somehow the nature of this material world is such, it's so complicated nowadays, that one has to be so careful to protect one's consciousness. But by the mercy of the devotees and the Lord, if one simply maintains the right attitude, then Krishna protects. So then, having seen all these devotees one by one, the king began to marvel. What did he say?
Raja kahe dekhi mora hoilo chamatkar, Vaishnavere aichete ja dekhi nahi aar.
The king said, "Upon seeing all these devotees, I am very much astonished. for I have never seen such an effulgence.
Kothi surya samasava ujjala bharan, kabhi nahi suni ei madhura kirtan.
Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns. Nor have I ever heard the Lord's names being chanted so melodiously. So Prabhupada in his purport mentions, the students of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should note these two points and try to apply these principles in their spreading of the Lord's glories. What are the two points Prabhupada is emphasizing? Number one, that we should all become effulgent. So that's Prabhupada's order to us, become effulgent. And he says, how can one become effulgent? If a devotee sticks strictly to the regulative principles governing Vaishnava behavior, his bodily luster will naturally be attractive and his singing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord will be effective. And that comes to the second point. The performance of the sankirtan of the devotees, Prabhupada says, is unparalleled. Therefore, even if the devotees are not as talented from a material point of view musically, nevertheless, when the devotees with their devotion put on a performance either of sankirtan or a drama or something like that, that has so much more potency to transform the hearts of people. A professional drama done very expertly but not with so much devotion lacks that potency to change the lives of people. So Prabhupada says that such are the symptoms of pure devotees when they are chanting. All the pure devotees are bright as sunshine and their bodily luster is very effulgent. So then he says, even dramas about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya or Shri Krishna should be played by devotees. And then Prataprudra Maharaj went on to say,
Aiche prema, aiche mitra, aiche haridhuni, kaha nahi dekhi aiche, kaha nahi suni.
I have never before seen such ecstatic love, nor heard the vibration of the holy name of the Lord chanted in such a way, nor seen such dancing during Sankirtan. This means that many other worshippers and devotees must have been coming to the temple of Lord Jagannath and they must have been having their own styles of doing Sankirtan of some sort. But the Sankirtan that was being done by the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extraordinarily special. And that is why King Pratap Rudra became so attracted that he says, I've never before seen such ecstatic love, neither such wonderful kirtan, neither such dancing in the kirtan. And then Bhattacharya gave the explanation for that.
Bhattacharya kahi ei madhura bhachan, chaitanya srishti ei prema sankirtan.
This madhura bhachan, this very sweet sound, is a creation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Special creation, Chaitanya Srishti. And what is it called? Prema Sankirtan. So because of Mahaprabhu's special creation, these devotees are in such ecstatic love of God. And then Bhattacharya began to preach to King Pratap Rudra, who was now becoming a very faithful disciple. Prabhupada explains in different places about the qualities of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, and he says that one of his very important qualifications was that he heard with great faith. Initially, when Bhattacharya had told him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, he immediately put his faith in Bhattacharya and believed him. So this was a great qualification. And even now, when Bhattacharya began to explain the glories of the holy name of the Lord, King Pratap Rudra immediately accepted that as truth. He didn't doubt it.
Avatari Chaitanya Koilo Dharma Pracharan Kolikale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan.
In this age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended to preach the religion of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna is a religious principle for this age. Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan. So this is the religion for this age. So we are not into the business of being Christians and Muslims and Hindus or this or that. We are in the business, so to speak, of Harinam Sankirtan, Prem Sankirtan, which is a creation of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
Sankirtan Yagya Tare Kori Aradhyam Shaita Sumedh Ara Koli Hata Jam.
Anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. One who does not do so must be considered a victim of this age and bereft of all intelligence. And then he quoted the famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we also often quote as evidence that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Lord Krishna. Which is that verse?
Krishnavarnam Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedhasaha.
In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential associates. So now, Maharaj Pratap Rudra had a question. Being faithful doesn't mean we can't have questions. And not asking questions also doesn't mean that we are faithful. In fact, questions must be such that they increase the taste of Krishna consciousness. Questions should never be asked in a spirit of trying to exhibit one's own learning or to cut down or oppose or defeat the speaker's words, but it should be done to facilitate enlightenment, to facilitate clearer understanding of a siddhanta, of a philosophical point. Or a question should be asked in order to increase the happiness of hearing Krishna katha. Therefore, whenever questions are asked about Krishna, then that is a cause of happiness. This is an important factor. We see that even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, every now and then questions are asked and the speaker glorifies the questioner by saying, "Very nice, you have asked such wonderful questions." Yat Krishna Samprashno Yenatma Suprasidati, Suta Goswami tells the sages. Because your questions are connected to Krishna, therefore they are very glorious, and I am very happy to hear that. So he was more enthusiastic to speak about Krishna when the questions were very genuine. Sometimes, however, people come in and they don't have faith and they don't even want to ask the questions. So that is not necessarily an indication that the person has appreciated everything. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra, being very faithful, but he wanted to clarify a certain point. So he asked, "According to evidence given in the revealed scripture, it is concluded that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself. Why is it then that some scholars do not accept him as such? And why are they indifferent to him?" This is a question that we come across also, isn't it? Especially in India, people have heard of Krishna, not a problem. But if you go to other places in India, they haven't heard so much about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or even if they've heard about him, they think he was just a great saint. They don't understand that he was directly the Supreme Lord. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave a very nice reply.
भट्ट कहे तार कृपा लेश होए जारे शेषे तहारे कृष्ण कोरे लेते पारे.
So the Bhattacharya replied, a person who has received but a small fraction of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that he is Lord Krishna. No one else can. So when one is spiritually ready, by many lifetimes of spiritual evolution, having come in contact with devotees by some great fortune, then we will get some mercy, a drop of the mercy of Mahaprabhu, which will give us that faith and understanding that yes, he is directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. And no other process is possible to bring that faith and understanding. Whatever verses we quote to establish that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna, these verses are known to all the scholars also. Perhaps they know many more verses than the devotees do. Perhaps if it's just a question of argumentation, they could produce more verses than us to show that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. But they don't have the faith. So it's not a matter of scholarship. It's a matter of receiving the Lord's mercy.
Tara kripa nahi jare, pandit nahi kene, dekhile shu nile tare, ishwara na mane.
If the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of his seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a continuation of the same point. And then he continues by quoting a very famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 14th chapter, which are the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna. When Brahma has been suitably chastened by witnessing the all-powerful display of opulence of the Lord, and Brahma begins to chant prayers glorifying Krishna, and he says,
athapite deva padambujadvayam prasadaleshanugrihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahino na chanya eko pichiram vichinvan.
Brahmaji says, my Lord, if one is favored with even a slight trace of your mercy, prasad lesha anugrihitahi. Lesha means just a fraction. Prasad means mercy. Anugrihita means having received. So, O my Lord, O Deva, pada ambuja dvaya. Dvaya means two. Pada ambuja means lotus feet. So if one receives even a small particle of the mercy of your lotus feet, then janati tattvam bhagaman mahimno, then he can understand the greatness of your personality. Mahimna means greatness. So if one really wants to understand what is Krishna, one needs to have the Lord's mercy. Na cha anya ekaha api charam vichinvan. There is no other way, my dear Lord, Brahma is saying, that even one may continue to study the Vedas or speculate for many lifetimes, but one will not understand the absolute truth. It's only by a trace of your mercy that this will be possible. So Maharaj Prataprudra was very satisfied. But then as they were looking down at the devotees who had come from Bengal, he saw that all of them, instead of running towards the Jagannath temple to have darshan of Lord Jagannath, they were running towards the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then the king had a question, because normally if you go to a place which is famous for a particular temple, then the first thing you do is to go to that temple. You don't go anywhere else. If you go to Badrinath, you first go to the temple of Badri Vishal. If you go to Mayapur, you first go to Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. You come to Vrindavan, you first come to Krishna Balaram Mandir. So he was wondering why the devotees, instead of going to the Jagannath temple, are going to the quarters of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he was unaware of the intricacies and subtleties of the path of devotion as practiced and taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
भट्ट कहे ऐ तो स्वाभाविक प्रेमरीत महाप्रभु मिली बारे उत्कंठित चित.
This is spontaneous love. स्वाभाविक प्रेमरीत. This is the ways of spontaneous love. The all devotees who have come are all very anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First the devotees will meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then they will take him and go together to Lord Jagannath. So Pratap Rudra said, all right. But then there I see Vaninath, the son of Bhavananda Rai, who is carrying loads of Mahaprasadam, such huge quantities of Mahaprasadam, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence. So what is the reason for this? So Bhattacharya replied that understanding all the devotees have come and that they must be hungry, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must have indicated to Vaninath to bring some prasadam here for the devotees. But then Pratap Rudra said,
Raja kahe upavasa kshaura tithira vidhan tahana koriya kene khaiba annapan.
Good question. The king then asked, why have the devotees not observed the regulations for visiting the places of pilgrimage, such as fasting, shaving and so on? Why have they first eaten prasadam? So there are regulations that when one visits a holy place, that's why when you go to Tirupati, you see, Tirupati is more famous for shaving the head than for Balaji, I think. Everybody goes there and shaves, and it's a big business. Hair is sold there, wigs, to make wigs and many other things. So everybody who goes to Tirupati likes to shave. So that's the custom actually to be followed at every holy place. Not just Tirupati. And also when one first goes to a holy place, one should do some austerities. One should fast. One should perhaps sleep in a simple way, sleep on the floor and things like that. But here Maharaj Pratap Rudra was seeing that these devotees don't seem to be following the proper system. First of all, instead of going to Jagannath temple, they're going to Mahaprabhu's place. Second, instead of fasting and shaving and all these things, they first want to take Mahaprasadam. So then Bhattacharya explained,
Bhatta kahe tumi jai kaho shevi dhi dharma ehi raga marge ache sukshma dharma marma.
He said, what you have said, my dear king, is right. But it is right according to the regulative principles governing the visiting of holy places. According to the Vidhi Dharma, according to those who are practicing religious life, and ordinarily, then when they go, these rules are applicable. But there is another path, and that is called the Rag Marga. Rag means attachment, the path of spontaneous attachment to the Lord. And according to those principles, there is sukshma dharma marma. There are subtle religious principles involved here in the execution of religious principles on the path of spontaneous love. And then to clarify further, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says,
Ishwarera paroksha agya kshara uposhan prabhur sakshad agya prasada bhojan.
He said there are two kinds of orders from the Lord. One is called a paroksha agya. Agya means order. Paroksha means indirect. And sakshat means direct. So there is the indirect order which is called a paroksha agya. And there is the direct order which is called a sakshat agya. So Bhattacharya explains that shaving, fasting and so on, these are scriptural injunctions which are to be done but they are indirect orders of the Lord, paroksha agya. But here, that same Supreme Lord, in the form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is directly calling the devotees for prasadam. So that is sakshat agya, that is a direct order of the Lord. So the direct order is always superior to the indirect order. The order for fasting, etc., are general orders which are meant for everybody. But if the Lord gives a specific order to somebody, then that must be followed. That's it. That's the direct instruction of the Lord. For example, Krishna has created the different kinds of scriptures. He has also created the dharma shastras that regulate morality in this world. One of the principles of morality is that one should not lie. So Yudhishthira Maharaj in the battlefield of Kurukshetra was attached to that vidhi principle, that vidhi marg principle, that one should not speak a lie, which is good, which is correct. But that is an indirect instruction of the Lord. That's an example of a paroksha agya. In general, it is true. But if the Lord personally comes and directly gives a contrary instruction, then that instruction should be followed. So the Lord told Yudhishthira Maharaj to speak a lie. And Yudhishthira Maharaj hesitated. Finally, he said very softly about Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama, and the elephant is dead. So Dronacharya, who was very attached to his son Ashwatthama, couldn't, he just heard that Ashwatthama is dead. He didn't hear the two words, the elephant, that were muttered by Yudhishthira Maharaj under his breath. So even silence or hiding the truth or not speaking the truth when we know it is also a form of lying. It's not that we have to positively state a lie. If we know that a lie is being spoken and we don't come out and say, yes, it's a lie, then we are also participating in that lie. So we are also implicated. So the Mahabharata says that King Yudhishthira had to have a vision of hell because he spoke a lie. But of course, the Vaishnava Acharyas explain that that is the Dharma Artha Kama Moksha vision of seeing Mahabharata, because it is meant for people who are on that platform of Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. Mundane religiosity, sense gratification, economic development and liberation. But from the Bhagavad point of view, we understand that Maharaj Yudhishthira is an eternal associate of the Lord. There is no question of him going to hell, even for a moment. And even if he did go, the Acharyas explain, it's not because he spoke a lie, it's because he hesitated to speak a lie. Because here the Lord directly was telling him, you must lie. And he was thinking of the regulative principles of good behavior, that one should not speak a lie. So it was his duty to speak a lie when he was told. So our principle is sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja, that abandon all other varieties of dharma and only surrender to me. So spontaneous love is based on the foundation of complete surrender and love. So when Mahaprabhu called all the devotees, they forgot everything. Similarly, we see that Gadadhar Pandit was so affected emotionally when he saw that the Lord was leaving Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan. He wanted to come behind him, and Mahaprabhu reminded him that you have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas and that you will never move out of Jagannath Puri. You have vowed you will always stay and serve Tota Gopinath. So now if you come with me, your vow will be broken. So Gadadhar Pandit says, to hell with my vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Wherever you are, there is Tota Gopinath. That is my Kshetra Sannyas. So on the path of spontaneous love, sometimes these things happen. But of course, as practicing devotees, we should be careful to not artificially try to imitate devotees on the platform of raga, of spontaneous love. We should be very careful, as far as is possible, in following regulative principles of proper behavior. That's very important in order to help us progress in our Krishna consciousness. At the same time, our following of these rules should be done in a spirit of devotion. And sometimes we should be willing to not be so rigid about certain things. One time, I remember we had gone on a yatra to some holy place, and we visited a certain Vaishnava sannyasi, and he was very happy to see all the devotees, and he welcomed us in, and we went and had prasadam right there in the temple hall. And then he called for prasadam, bring prasadam for all of these devotees. And then the devotees, his followers, came and started distributing some cups of prasadam. And then one of our devotees, who was a pujari, he told the other devotees there, please close the curtain, we are taking prasadam. Because generally the vidhi in devotion is that you don't eat when the in front of the Lord. When the curtains are open, the darshan is open, we are not expected to eat. Because one gets contaminated, and it's also a sign of not giving proper respect. So generally if we have to eat, we go outside and eat and then come back after having become clean. So the pujari was very fixed in his principles, so he suggested. And then when this particular sannyasi, he saw the curtain being closed, he said, why are you closing the door, the curtain? Then some of the devotees explained, we are going to eat. No, the Lord likes to see his devotees eating. So that was his vision. His understanding was that the Lord is seeing his devotees. He likes it. So he was thinking on a different platform. So here was one devotee who was correct. From his point of view, he was right. That it's not the proper etiquette to eat in front of the Lord. But here was this other devotee who was completely thinking on a different platform. And he said, yes, the Lord actually likes it. Of course, we should not do that when we go in front of Krishna Balaram. Now, we should still be careful. But still, it is nice to know about the higher principles and aspire that one day we will also become so pure and spontaneous in our devotion that the Lord will automatically deal with us in a way that will be more intimate. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, the scriptural injunctions for shaving and fasting are indirect orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, when there is a direct order from the Lord to take prasadam, naturally the devotees take prasadam as their first duty. When Mahaprasadam is not available, there must be fasting. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead orders one to take prasadam, neglecting such an opportunity is offensive. So in other words, not taking Mahaprasadam then is an offense. Not that taking prasadam is an offense. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing prasadam with his own transcendental hand, who will neglect such an opportunity and accept the regulative principle of fasting? So this is the higher principle of spontaneous devotion for the Lord. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya narrates his own experience. He said, one time the Lord came to my house early in the morning, even before the Mangal Arati in Lord Jagannath's temple, and he knocked on my door, and I was sleeping, and I awoke. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Mahaprabhu heard Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately saying, Krishna, Krishna, as he woke up. And Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear that, because Bhattacharya had been recently converted from a Mayavadi to a Vaishnava. But even though he was recently converted, his faith had become so staunch that the moment he awoke, he chanted Krishna's names. So hurriedly he opened the doors and he saw Mahaprabhu and he was very happy. And Mahaprabhu gave him some prasadam from Jagannath. And immediately Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya honored the prasadam. And then Mahaprabhu joked with him, "So my dear Sarvabhauma, you are a cultured Brahmin. Where are your regulative principles? You have not even taken bath or brushed your teeth and you are just taking the prasadam." Then Bhattacharya began to glorify the Mahaprasadam. So he shared this little pastime with King Prataparudra. And then he said, "The man to whom the Lord shows his mercy by inspiring him within the heart takes shelter only of Lord Krishna and abandons all Vedic and social customs. When one is inspired by the Lord who is sitting in everyone's heart, he does not care for social custom or Vedic regulative principles." And then King Prataparudra came down from the top of his palace, from the roof, and he immediately called his assistants, the inspector of the temple and Kashi Mishra, and he instructed them, "Please make arrangements for all the devotees who have come. Make sure that the accommodation is very comfortable. And there are convenient places for eating the prasadam. And see that they have no difficulty when they go for darshan of Lord Jagannath. The orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be carried out. Although the Lord may not directly give orders, you are still to carry out his desires simply by understanding his indications." Then saying this, the king gave them permission to leave. So King Prataparudra was very happy, because he had now a chance to serve so many devotees. He had never previously had such a chance. So with his heart, he put at the disposal of the devotees of Mahaprabhu all the facilities that were available. And in this way, Maharaj Prataparudra became the object of the affection and mercy of all the devotees of the Lord. And because the devotees gave their affection and mercy to Maharaj Prataparudra, was it possible that Mahaprabhu's mercy would be far away? So in what way eventually the king received the mercy of Mahaprabhu, that we will hear tomorrow, because it's now almost 7 o'clock. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Okay, so we will stop here and we'll meet tomorrow at 5:30. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Maharaj Pratap Rudra ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.